I've seen students just in your position, just right there, who got the world by the tails, and then by the tail, and then they go out, and after a decade, if they're not walking with the Lord, after a decade, their lives are miserable. Broken marriages, broken relationships, broken children. And you see this pattern. God has this pattern for us. Don't neglect this. Don't just bypass and say, oh, that's kind of quaint. That's nice. No, this is real stuff. This is what we're living through. We are in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, reading from verse 13, approaching Galatians 6. But we'll probably finish up Galatians 5 today. Galatians chapter 5, and let's overlap a little bit what we talked about last time, and then we'll continue on from there. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Okay, so in verse 13, remember, he's talking about the freedom that we have in Christ, this tremendous freedom that we have in Christ. It's an amazing thing that he says, and lo and behold, whenever you talk about freedom, people will always say, does that mean I can do whatever I want to do? And just as I've been teaching in Galatians, people have walked up to me afterward and said, does that mean we can do whatever we want? Exactly like happened to Paul. It still happens. And he says, no, you can't. Your freedom in Christ is not a license for sin. So he says in verse 13, he says, but you should love, you should serve one another. So he says that in verse 13, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. So remember what we talked about last time. There's this pattern in Scripture where it says, this is what you don't do. This is what you should do. And a lot of times then he tells us the fruit of doing the right thing. But don't do this, do this. But he doesn't just fill us with an emptiness of don't do this. What he fills us with is clearly what he does is he tells us what we should be filling our lives with. He says, through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. And we're going to hear, actually, right after this class, we're going to hear somebody come up and give you and talk a little bit about service opportunities in the church. I don't want you to just blank that thing out. Through love, serve one another. So he tells us what to do. We're through love to serve one another. This is part of Christian life. You might not have known what you signed up for, but this is part of Christian life. Part of Christian life is service. And this is the thing that will keep us in line. It's not just not doing something. It's filling our lives with something different. It's serving one another through love. And then he says, the whole law is summarized in this, love your neighbor as yourself. We're commanded to love, which is a very strange commandment. Commanded to love because he gives us everything we need to love. And it turns out to not be that complex of a thing. Like it says in Romans, in Romans chapter 9, it talks about how the Gentiles obtained righteousness by walking in faith. They weren't even looking for it. They obtained righteousness. Whereas Israel, trying to do one thing after another, missed out on righteousness. And because sometimes it can be so simple, and he says, I put a stumbling block right in front of them. A stumbling block is something that's just dropped right in front of us, and we fall over. So he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, but if you bite, in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. He says, be careful the way you speak to one another. Be careful about this. I have to be particularly careful about this. I'm from New York, and in New York, people speak to each other quite intensely and quite harshly. And if you go to Israel, it's like New York City magnified. And it very often Americans in Israel will be offended, like, how could he have said that to me? They didn't mean it in an offensive way. But we have to be careful what we say. You know, I'll reveal something to you. I just wanted to write a nice letter to all my family members, a nice email, just blessing them. So I went to Google Bard, which is the AI system in Google, and I said, write a really nice letter to my daughter. She's this many years old, and she likes these things. I mean, the most beautiful email. And I tweaked a couple of things, but I sent it to her, and she was really moved by this. Shireen loved it. Shireen loved the letter that I sent her. My son, who never writes to me, he said, that was so nice of you. Yeah, and my granddaughters, and it did a really good job because it just, this is much nicer than me. You know, but it's not like I didn't participate. I gave it some key things that I like. He says, you be careful the way you speak to one another because you'll end up devouring one another. You know, it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. And this is this whole principle of sowing and reaping. And remember, in the Bible, it's not one-to-one. In the Bible, it is always excess that you reap. It talks about how if you sow a little good, you sow a little seed, it says it will come back into your lap, blessing, overflowing, pouring into your lap. You plant one kernel of corn, you get 10,000 kernels back. Sowing and reaping, there's always more on the other side. It's the same with doing something evil. It's the same. And so what he's trying to do, he says, you can't do whatever you want. He says in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And so last week I mentioned that this word the definite article is not really there. So I've been corresponding with one of the theologians online, he says that the word the definite article for the Spirit is not. It indeed is not there, and it's not there throughout most of the references throughout this chapter and even into the next chapter. But he says it ought to be there, in a sense that it's talking about the Holy Spirit, whereas other authors clearly say, no, that they're talking about the redeemed human spirit and this battle between the redeemed human spirit. So I'm not going to take any sides on that because I'm not a theologian, and I'll probably end up being wrong, so I won't take any side on it. And you know, I'm just a chemist. I get away with this thing. I just a chemist, you know. But whatever it is that there is this battle that's going on, and it's this battle. And so you know, sometimes young men, in particular, come to me and they tell me their struggles, and they say, you know, I'm doing this, and I wonder if I'm even a believer. I wonder if I'm even a believer because I end up doing these sort of things. I said, this is definitely why you're a believer. Unbelievers don't have this battle within them. There's not the battle there. It's like, hey, you know, this is society says it's okay, so it's okay. The believer is struggling against this thing, and this is what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7. He says, the very thing that I don't want to do, I end up doing. There's this battle within me. And you see this struggling between the human spirit, the redeemed human spirit, and his own flesh in Romans chapter 7. He says, the very things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And if you've ever had relationships with people, you see that happens so often. You don't want to lose it with your children. You don't want to lose it with your spouse, and you end up doing it. And there's this battle. And what I love about the scriptures, it's so clear, and it speaks and it tells us exactly like we are. As we read it, it's like a mirror to our own hearts. And he says, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You'll not carry them out. And I see this same sort of thing. He says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. for those are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. He says, I know there's this battle within you. Here's the bottom line. You can't do whatever you please. You can't do it. You can't succumb to whatever you want to do. This whole idea that, oh, it's natural, it's okay. No, scripturally, it's not okay. It may be natural. The natural man may do it. The corrupt man may do it. But it's not scriptural. It's not what God has for us. He said, if you walk in these things, you're going to end up destroying each other. So I was just speaking with a friend of mine this week. This is one guy, you know, I share with people every week through the internet. I share with them these scriptures, and I see people saved all the time. I mean, all the time. People are getting saved all the time. People just want to hear the word of God. So I was sharing with this one guy because he sent me a copy of his book. He was a retired policeman in New Orleans. And about a year ago, I shared the scriptures with him. I shared the word of God with him, and he got saved. And very often what I always do when they get saved is I set them up in a one-on-one Bible study with a friend of mine. And I have several guys that work with the men that get saved and several women that work with the women that get saved. And I set them up in Bible study. And I set them up on a daily reading pattern, daily reading in the scriptures. And so he sent me his book. And his books are about his antics as a policeman in New Orleans. Like the first day he was on the job, it was Christmas Eve. And, you know, he went out and got wasted as he's working. He says, because the guy he was working with. And so it's stories like this, and you're just amazed. But anyway, he was telling me this story about, he wrote to me, and I'd written to him, I said, thanks for sending me your book. I really enjoyed it. Now, I'm not asking for books. I get sent a lot of books. The reason I read his book is because it's like, you know, reading a comic book. It's really simple. It's just a chillin' type book. But anyway, he says, dear Jim, I don't think I told you the rest of the story. After the email you sent following our Zoom call, so this meant a year ago, I telephoned your friend in Atlanta. During our conversation, he recommended a local pastor to me. I contacted that pastor, and I started attending his New Testament Baptist church. I was baptized November last year. I've been reading the Bible daily and have gotten to know Jesus. I owe it all to you. Thank you. And so I said, you never told me that before. I'm glad to hear that. Because I had written to him, I said, my life would have been just like yours if I had not been saved at the age of 18. I said, Jesus saved me out of so much. And this is what he wrote back to me. And he says, amen to that. I'm not even the same person who wrote the books. Things are making sense to me now. So here's a guy, retired policeman, and he gets saved, and now things are making sense to him. I mean, reading his life, it was like one disaster after another. You know, one broken marriage, one broken relationship after another. And you see, this is the pattern of what happens in life. You guys are young. You haven't seen this much. I've seen a lot of this. I've seen students just in your position, just right there, who got the world by the tail, and then they go out, and after a decade, if they're not walking with the Lord, after a decade, their lives are miserable. Broken marriages, broken relationships, broken children. And you see this pattern. God has this pattern for us. Don't neglect this. Don't just bypass and say, oh, that's kind of quaint. That's nice. No, this is real stuff. This is what we're living through. And he says, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit in verse 17. And the desires and the spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another. You may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. So now he's going to go through with us a list of the deeds of the flesh, because you wonder, you know, what is wrong, what is right? You want the list? Generally, our conscience speaks to us what is wrong and what is right. And if you go by this pattern, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. What happens is that kind of controls you. You don't need the list. But if you want the list, here it is. He says the deeds of the flesh are evident. It's evident. It's obvious to everybody. But you want the list? Here it is. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. So he starts with the sexual realm, which is a great place to start, because this is where many, many young people struggle. This is where my struggle was. And this is why in my 40s, in my early 40s, I started really trying to understand this thing. And I did that series called Scriptural Sexual Ethics, which is on my website, jmtour.com. And under the personal topics audio files, you go to Scriptural Sexual Ethics. And it's a 6-part series. It's like 30 minutes per part. And you just put in your ear pods and you listen to it. And you have to start at part one and then part two, part three. You have to work at it in order, because if you go right to part six, you won't understand. You say, this guy's crazy. You work your way through it. This will help you, because you will see you're not alone in this struggle. Many people have had that struggle. And I'm using my own life as an example. But you can overcome in this, and there are ways to do this. And salvation is not a sham. It is real. Jesus intercedes on lives. And this is what we see. This is the pattern that we see. It is so true. And he starts with the sexual realm. And then he goes into verse 20, idolatry, sorcery. So he's talking about the occult. You mess around with the occult, it will catch you. It'll destroy your life. You mess around with Ouija boards, you think this is innocuous little fun little thing. It's not a fun little innocuous thing. It will hurt your lives. And you start messing around with this thing, it's going to hurt you in your dreams. Your dreams are going to be filled with nightmares. And I've seen it over and over again. And you need to have others come in very often and spend some time praying over you, praying in your home for you. And, I've had people in this class have struggled with this sort of thing. And I've gone with the pastors and we've prayed over them and in their home before they saw that sort of deliverance from this thing. This can really affect lives. Don't mess with it. And I have seen young people really go over the deep end, just to the point where they take their own life, and their friends are just taking their lives around them. One guy from this class, he goes to his friend's home, and she had hung herself over a pentagram. You mess around with this stuff, this is what happens. So this is serious business. He says, don't mess around with that. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Very often when I'm witnessing to men, they will confide in me that they had these outbursts of anger. And it was these outbursts of anger that they really felt was wrong, that they're reaching out to me and I'm not able to share the Lord with them. And I said, look, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. And I'm able to share with them. He says, these are not from the Lord. Here's the deeds of the flesh, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. Sometimes that word carousing is substituted by partying. This drunkenness and partying, this will catch you. You go messing around with this thing, and if you are in Christ, your conscience tells you this. They are obvious. It is evident to you, based on what is happening at these parties, that this is not a good place for you. But when you resist that, there's trouble that starts. And then he says, and things like these. Because he speaks of drunkenness. He speaks of drunkenness and things like these. So you go messing around with drugs that are like drunkenness, that cause you to lay down your inhibitions, cause you to lay down the things that you know you shouldn't be laying down, that you wouldn't normally lay down. And so that's why it says in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Wine is a mocker. You get intoxicated, you start mocking things, and you're going to start getting in fights. It's a brawler. And then he says things like these. So it's not just these, but things like these. It is evident. You don't need people to give you that list. It is there. It's evident to us. Just as I have forewarned you, he says, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you. He says, I'm warning you now, and I warned you in the past. I'm warning you now, and I warned you in the past. This is a very strong admonition from Paul. Very strong. He says, I warned you about this. I'm warning you about this thing again. You got to be careful about this thing. He says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things. That does not mean that if a believer falls into this, they've lost their salvation. You're not going to lose your salvation. But what you might lose is your life. Yeah. You might lose your life. He says, because believers, he says that whoever practices these things, whoever continues in these practices, is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So you know what God does? He stops believers from continuing in these practices. See, he does. How does he do that? He forewarns you. He calls you to repentance, and they repent. Then they stop from the practice. Or what he does, if they don't stop practicing it, he kills them. He kills them. He takes their life prematurely. He takes their life so that they can inherit the kingdom of God. And you think, no, that can't be. Okay, let's look at a few people here. Let's look at a few people. So there was a guy in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. And this man was sleeping with his father's wife. So he was sleeping with his stepmother. Paul calls him out on it. He calls out the Corinthian church. He says, you should have stopped this guy. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged him, and him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, and the power of the Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. He says, I'm delivering him to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Now, very often, these practices themselves will destroy your flesh. The practice itself will do it. You get drunk a lot, your liver goes downhill. You lose brain, you lose a lot of good brain activity, and your liver's destroyed. So it has a way of taking your life. You start messing around on the immorality side, you get sort of all sorts of diseases come in. Very often, the practice itself destroys the life. The practice itself, you participate in immorality, it destroys the marriage. Things start falling apart around you, and the marriage is destroyed, and the guy's like, Lord, what do I have to do? And then they're open to repentance. The Lord allows destruction to come in to bring repentance, to have them turn around. And so you see the outcome of this man in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He talks about this man, and he says, welcome him back in. He's repented. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 onward. He says, he's repented. Welcome him back in now. Bring him on back in. So he turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, and then redemption could begin to come. Same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience. A good conscience. It's this conscience. You go and you participate in these things, and all of a sudden your conscience tells you, this is not the place where I'm supposed to be. He says you keep a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Their faith has become shipwrecked because they did not listen to that conscience. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan so that they would be taught not to blaspheme. They were handed over to Satan. How would you like if God said, I'm going to take him and hand him over to Satan? That would be a scary thing, to take one of his children and he hands him over to Satan. But the intent in that is to have his flesh to be destroyed so that he does not continue in that practice. Because God is more concerned about your eternity. And so you mess around with these things, he's going to deal with it. If you're a believer and you go in these directions, he will keep you from going into these practices. He'll start calling you to repentance and you'll have a chance to repent. Your life will start falling apart around you. These tendencies themselves cause the destruction of lives. There are relationships that have broken in my life to my shame because of my outbursts of anger, because I've gotten so frustrated that I've burst out in anger. And relationships to this day are damaged because of that. So I see the effects of that. This is what he's warning us about. These effects themselves, these tendencies themselves, have a way of doing this in our lives. And then he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There is no law against any of this in any culture anywhere. There is no culture that speaks poorly of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And he said, you can see it. It becomes really clear. Is this a fruit of the Spirit or a fruit of the flesh? Which is it? I mean, you want the list? Here it is. He says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus, in verse 24 of Galatians 5, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, meaning that it is a struggle for everybody. It wasn't like, wow, I got saved, boom, I'm good to go. None of these things from the flesh bother me anymore. I just walk in love. I love everybody. Yeah, you love everybody for 5 minutes until somebody cuts you off, until, you know, somebody says something you don't like. And that fruit of the flesh just, and you say, wow, I still got the flesh. Yeah, you still do. There's a crucifixion of the flesh. I mean, look at the imagery that he uses, this crucifixion of the flesh. You talk to men of God, you talk to women of God who have decades upon decades, who have 50 years of walking with God. They will never say, you know, hey, I've overcome all this, I'm good to go. No, there is a constant struggle against the flesh, but they have learned to crucify the flesh with its passions and with its desires. This is part of Christian life. You can't do whatever you want. You can't do it anymore. And he says, it's crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And so this is what he deals with. This is part of Christian life. This is what it's like to walk as a believer. This is the constant battle that goes on as a believer. And as soon as you think you've got this thing mastered, you're in for a fall. If you think you've got it mastered, remember, pride goes before a fall. If you think you've got it mastered, you're about to fall. It is better. I have seen it is better that, Lord, thank you. Lord, protect me. Lord, keep me. Lord, protect me from evil. Lord, protect me. If you see somebody fall into something, you see somebody, say, fall into immorality, you think, that would never happen to me. We've got a great marriage. That would never happen to me. I'm like, whoa, watch out. You should rather be praying, Lord, please protect my marriage. Lord, protect my marriage. You think your kids would never fall into certain things. Oh, that would never happen to my child. Watch out. It's much better to say, Lord, protect my children. Lord, deliver us from evil. Lord, keep us from sinning. Lord, protect my life. It is much better to sit on that, in that place. Lord, protect me. Lord, protect me from that. And you will see people. You will see the results of their actions. You'll see the destruction of families, the results of their actions. And use it as a teaching time to say, wow, Lord, protect my marriage. Lord, protect my children. Protect my children's marriage. I pray for my children's marriage all the time. I do that. I want God's protection over that, because these things don't come easy. And there's the constant need to crucify the flesh. This is what he presents before us. If you're an unbeliever, I urge you to contact me. Reach out to me. Come and see me after this class. We will set up a time to talk. And when we set up a time to talk, you will get saved that very day. You get saved that day because it's not hard. It's really a very simple little thing. You get saved that day because without it, you can't crucify the flesh. There is no overcoming this. There's no spirit there to do battle against this thing. You're just tossed around by this thing. If you're an unbeliever, come and see me. Reach out to me. If you're online, just send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org, tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together, and we'll have that time together. You get saved that very day. If you are a believer and you are constantly struggling with these things, I urge you to reach out to others to get prayer. Get prayer for this. God's going to deal with you. And it's much better to deal with this in repentance than to deal with this in disobedience. Deal with these things because he's going to protect your soul through this. Let's pray. Abba, thank you so much for your word. Blessed be your name. Your word is so good. Praise be to your name, Lord God. Thank you for your kindness toward us, for your mercy toward us. You have been so good. Lord, I pray your grace upon these young people, that they would learn to crucify the flesh, that they cannot do whatever they want. You have called them to something much greater. Father, I pray that they would learn to listen to that conscience that you have given them, that they would learn to love one another through service. And Father, I pray that you'd give them that love for their neighbor as they love themselves. It can be so simple in so many ways to walk in this. We don't need all these lists. You've already spoken so much of this to our hearts. Father, protect these young people, I pray. Protect them. And Father, I pray for the unbelievers. Father, save a soul. Father, if we see souls not saved, what good are we doing, Lord? Father, save souls, I pray. I pray, Lord, that we would see salvations. Let unbelievers come and experience the goodness of the Lord Jesus. Touch their hearts, O Lord. Turn a heart this day, I pray, for the glory of Jesus and in his name. Amen. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to give to help out with these podcasts, you can go to jesusandscience.org. All donations are tax deductible. We have no employees in this organization. All the money just goes for the contract work on the production. Thanks so much.